This person are acting under her direct orders, and we're not to allow even one of her on the docks or onto any ship, under any circumstances. Her fear and her confusion were evident. I knew how she felt, but this wasn't the time to sympathize. She asked you, and not her own guard, because her own guard is fighting her, and probably each other, depending on which of them got orders from which of her. I don't know who to believe, said Senior Security. But I thought Security's natural inclination to side with Dock Authority might tip the balance in our favor. And Captain Vell and her lieutenant and troops had lost the initiative, lost any chance to disarm me, with Security in the balance but ready to tip my way, them and their stun sticks. Maybe if the Mercy of Collars had ever seen combat, ever seen an enemy that wasn't a training exercise, hadn't spent so long on a Mercy, ferrying supplies or running long dull patrols, or visiting palaces and eating pastry. Eating pastry and having tea with associates who had decided political opinions. You don't even know, I said to Captain Vell, which one is giving which orders. She frowned, puzzled. She hadn't entirely understood the situation then. I'd assumed she knew more than she did. You're confused, said Captain Vell. It isn't your fault. The enemy has misinformed you, and your mind was never your own to begin with. My lord is leaving, called a security officer. As a body, security looked toward Senior Security, who looked at me. None of this distracted Inspector Supervisor Skyot. And just who, Captain, is the enemy? You, Captain Vell answered, vehement and bitter. And everyone like you who aids and encourages what's happened to us in the last 500 years. 500 years of alien infiltration and corruption. The word she used was a close cousin of the one the Lord of the Roch had used to describe my pollution of temple offerings. Captain Vell turned to me again. You're confused, but you were made by Anander Mianai to serve Anander Mianai, not her enemies. There is no way to serve Anander Mianai without serving her enemy, I said. Senior Security, Inspector Supervisor Skyot has seen to the docks. You secure any airlocks you can reach. We need to be certain no one leaves this station. The continued existence of this station depends on it. Yes, sir, said Senior Security, and began to consult with her officers. She spoke with you, I guessed, turning back to Captain Vell. She told you the Presger had infiltrated the Roch in order to subvert and destroy it. I saw answering recognition on Captain Vell's face. I had guessed correctly. She couldn't have told that lie to anyone who remembered what the Presger did when they thought humans were their legitimate prey. They're powerful enough to destroy us whenever they wish. No one is subverting the Lord of the Roch except the Lord of the Roch. She's been secretly at war with herself for 1,000 years. I forced her to see it, all of her here, and she'll do anything to prevent having to acknowledge this to the rest of herself, including using Mercy of Collar to destroy the station before that information can leave here. Shocked silence, then Inspector Supervisor Skyot said, We can't control all the accesses to the hull. If she goes outside and finds a launch unattended or willing to take her, which would be anyone she found? Because who here would think of disobeying the Lord of the Roch? And there was no way to broadcast a warning to everyone, or to ensure that anyone believed the warning. Carry the message as quickly as you can, as far as you can, I said, and let the omens fall as they will. And I need to warn Mercy of Collar not to let anyone aboard. Captain Vell made a quick, angry motion. Don't, Captain, I said, I'd rather not have to tell Mercy of Collar I killed you. The shuttle pilot was armed and armored and unwilling to leave without her captain's direct order. I was unwilling to allow Captain Vell anywhere near the shuttle. If the pilot had been an ancillary, I wouldn't have hesitated to kill her. But as it was, I shot her in the leg and let Savardin and the two dock inspectors, who'd come to do the manual undock for me, drag her onto the station. Put pressure on the wound, I said to Savardin. I don't know if it's possible to reach medical. I thought of the security, soldiers, and palace guards all over the station, who likely had conflicting orders and priorities, and hoped that all the civilians were safely sheltered by now.
I'm coming with you, said Savardin, looking up from where she knelt, half on the shuttle pilot's back, binding her wrists.
No, you might have some authority with Captain Vell's sort, maybe even with Captain Vell herself. You do have 1,000 years seniority, after all.
1,000 years back pay, said a dock inspector in an awed voice.
Like that will ever happen, said Savardin, and then, Breck,
and recollecting herself,
Ship.
I don't have time, I said, brusque and flat. A brief flash of anger on her face, and then,
You're right.
But her voice shook just slightly, and her hands. I turned without saying anything more and boarded the shuttle, pushing off from the station's gravity into the shuttle's lack of it, and closed the lock, then kicked myself over to the pilot's seat, waving away a globule of blood, and strapped in. Thunking and pounding told me undocking had started. I had one wired-in camera four, which showed me a few of the ships around the palace, shuttles, miners, little tenders and sail pods, the bigger passenger and cargo ships either on their way out or waiting for permission to approach. Mercy of Collar, white-hulled, awkward-shaped, its deadly engines larger than the rest of it, was somewhere out there. And beyond all of this, the beacons that lit the gates that brought ships from system to system. The station would have gone utterly, suddenly silent to them. The pilots and captains of these ships must be confused or frightened. I hoped none of them would be foolish enough to approach without permission from dock authorities. My only other wired camera, aft, showed me the gray hull of the station. The last thunk of the undocking vibrated through the shuttle, and I set the controls on manual and started out, slowly, carefully, because I couldn't see to either side. Once I judged myself clear, I picked up speed, and then sat back to wait. Even at this shuttle's top speed, Mercy of Collar was half a day away. I had time to think. After all this time, after all this effort, here I was. I had hardly dared hope that I could revenge myself so thoroughly, hardly hoped that I could shoot even one Anandermeanai, and I had shot four. And more Anandermeanais were almost certainly killing each other back there in the palace as she battled herself for control of the station, and ultimately of the Roch itself. The result of my message. None of it would bring back Lieutenant On. Or me. I was all but dead, had been for 20 years, just a last, tiny fragment of myself that had managed to exist a bit longer than the rest. Each action I took, a very good candidate for the last thing I'd ever do. A song bubbled up into my memory. Oh, have you gone to the battlefield, armored and well-armed, and shall dreadful events force you to drop your weapons? And that led inexplicably to the memory of the children in the Temple Plaza in Ors. 1, 2, my aunt told me, 3, 4, the corpse soldier.
I had very little to do now besides sing to myself, and no one to disturb. No worries I might choose some tune that would lead someone to recognize or suspect me, or that anyone would complain about the quality of my voice. I opened my mouth to sing out, in a way I hadn't for years, when I was checked mid-breath by the sound of something banging against the airlock. This sort of shuttle had two airlocks. One would only open when docked with a ship or a station. The other was a smaller emergency hatch along the side. It was just the sort of hatch I'd used to board the shuttle I'd taken when I'd left Justice of Torin so long ago. The sound came one more time and then stopped. It occurred to me that it might only have been some debris knocking into the hull as I passed. Then again, if I were in Anandamiani's place, I'd try anything I could think of to achieve my aims, and I couldn't see the outside of the shuttle with communications blocked, only those two narrow views fore and aft. I might well be bringing Anandamiani to mercy of collar myself. If someone was out there, if it wasn't just debris, it was Anandamiani. How many of her? The airlock was small and easily defensible, but it would be easiest not to have to defend it at all. It would be best to keep her from opening the airlock. Surely the communications blackout didn't reach much farther away from the palace. I quickly made the changes in heading that would steer me away from Mercy of Collar, but still, I hoped, toward the outer edges of the communications block. I could speak to Mercy of Collar and never go any closer to it. That done, I turned my attention to the airlock. Both doors of the lock were built to swing inward so that any pressure difference would force them shut. And I knew how to remove the inner door, had cleaned and maintained shuttles just like this one for decades, for centuries. Once I removed the inner door, it would be nearly impossible to open the outer one, so long as there was air in the shuttle. It took me 12 minutes to remove the hinges and maneuver the door to a place where I could secure it. It should have taken 10, but the pins were dirty and didn't slide as smoothly as they should have, once I'd released their catches. Human troops shirking, I was sure. I'd never have allowed such a thing on any of my own shuttles. Just as I finished, the shuttle's console began to speak, in a flat, even voice I knew belonged to a ship. Shuttle, respond! Shuttle, respond! Mercy of Collar, I said, kicking myself forward. This is Justice of Torin piloting your shuttle. No immediate answer. I didn't doubt what I'd said had been enough to shock Mercy of Collar into silent surprise. Do not let anyone aboard you. In particular, do not let any version of Anandamiani anywhere near you. If she's already there, keep her away from your engines. Now I could access the cameras that weren't physically wired. I hit the switch that would show me a panoramic view of what was outside the shuttle. I wanted more than just that forward camera view. Hit the buttons that would broadcast my words to anyone listening. All ships. Whether they would listen or obey, I couldn't predict, but that wasn't something I could realistically control anyway. Do not let anyone aboard you. Do not let Anandamiani aboard you under any circumstances. Your lives depend on it. The lives of everyone on the station depend on it. As I spoke, the gray bulkhead seemed to dissolve away. The main console, the seats, the two airlock hatches remained, but otherwise, I might have been floating unprotected in vacuum. Three vacuum-suited figures clung to handholds around the airlock I'd disabled. One had turned her head to look at a sail pod that had swung dangerously close. A fourth was pulling herself forward along the hull. She's not aboard me, said Mercy of Collar's voice through the console, but she's on your hull and ordering my officers to assist her.
ordering me to order you to allow her into the shuttle.